I sure appreciate them being here this afternoon, and thank you for coming. And God's been good to us. Let me mention a few prayer requests, and then I'll share a couple other things with you. And then go ahead and find the book of Romans, chapter number 8. And I appreciate, again, Brad and April being here tonight. That God's touched them. Let them be back with us tonight. And he and I were texting back and forth, and I told him what I thought we'd try to do tonight, unless he had something else on his heart. And I'm thankful for what the Lord did. And but if he felt like not doing that, we'd change right in the middle of the stream. But whatever, I'm thankful. But do pray, if you will. I talked to Eric Ollis a while ago. They came down. Now, his father-in-law and mother-in-law, Laura's parents, live over in Irwin. And he's been suffering with dementia, and it's getting progressively worse. And but anyhow, Peyton came down during the week and took them up to Morganton to be with them for Christmas. And so they could be up there and with them. And he called me a while ago, and they came down with the COVID yesterday. So his mother-in-law stayed. Laura's mom was in the bed all day yesterday and today. And his father-in-law is sick as well. He said him and Peyton were doing good, but Laura was looking a little green around the gills. So you remember them in prayer. He wants us to pray for them tonight, and we do. Brother James and Ms. Opal, thank the Lord for them. He came by the house on yesterday and brought us a wonderful gift, but saying that all their family, I know Carrie and his family, I think Jan and Chuck and them, they've all got the flu on that side of the road. And so people got all this stuff going on still, but I'm glad you're here tonight. As you heard the phone tree, Brother Bobby is now at Spring Branch. Please continue him in prayer. Brother Bobby Bird is still in very basic critical condition. So please remember him and Miss Connie in prayer. Ask God's blessing on them. So many others, but keep them in prayer. But I'm glad you're here. If you're glad you're here, say amen. I have been blessed. I wanted us to come, and I told Brother Brad, just a kind of a homely service, just to have a few moments. If you're like I am, you've been very busy. I say thank the Lord. I appreciate Miss Regina. She's worked so hard, makes everything so pretty around the house, decorates everything, makes it very special for all the family and all the cooking. And then here at the church, for those who helped, Miss Trudy and Keith, and I don't know who all was involved. I don't want to mention, don't miss anybody. But for all of you who decorated the auditorium so beautifully again this year, we thank you for that and praise the Lord for it. And thank you for being a part of that, helping, and just God bless you for doing that. It's been very special again. Now, we, of course, those poinsettias are still looking good. If you'll notice over here, we had a unique experience when Trudy put it up. We put it up in honor of Miss Francis and Brother Barry, and we had the red poinsettias and the white ones in the middle made a perfect cross. Well, sometime between last Wednesday and Thursday evening, I think, when Trudy on Saturday, when they were out here, she called, texted, and sent us a picture, and the white cross was down, and all of that had come down, and the rest of it was in place. And we never have figured out what happened. Tried to go back and look at surveillance cameras and haven't been able to figure it out. But at any rate, Brother Barry texted me the next day or so and sent me a picture, and that's what he sent. And he said, Jesus has the victory, amen. And I thank the Lord for that. Aren't you glad Jesus has the victory, amen? Thank God for the cross, it's still there. And I thank the Lord for Brother Barry doing that, and I appreciate him fixing that. Yesterday was an astounding day for us. We got up to come over yesterday morning, Brother Chuck and Gary and Tim and Brother Paul Searles and Chris. They got up way early to be over here before daylight, way before daylight to start cooking. And we got up at the house around 6:30 and had been up just a few minutes when the power went out. And then Chris called me, or I called him. I can't remember which one was first, but and said the power was out. They had just started getting cooking. And so it was too late to change anything. And so we had a great crowd to come up, and 99% of them didn't have any power at home. And they knew when that got here, they weren't going to have power. But the guys had just started cooking country ham, and there was a good, strong country ham smell when you walked in the door. And I told everybody, don't be deceived. Febreze has invented a new smell called country ham, and that's what we've been praying. But in spite of the 12 degrees and no lights and no heat in the church, people came. Many of you were here, and total between what we did a little bit early and yesterday, 1,282 bags that were delivered all the way up into Pennsylvania, all the way up into Mount Airy. Sue and Chris went up to Mount Airy, and then LaVon and Trudy went all the way to Emporia, Virginia, and then up and down 95 and all through here. Many of our first responders got, and our police and highway patrol got goodie bags from Benson Grove Baptist Church and the Highway Shepherd yesterday. 1,282 bags. Let's just thank the Lord for that. Amen. And I tell you, Lynetta was talking to me. She said, this just shows where people's heart is right. It's really real. And we all love to eat, and nobody loves it better than I do. And these guys love to cook for you. But in spite of that, knowing we didn't have any breakfast or anything, you still came. And I'm so very thankful and praise the Lord for you doing that. And I want to say to you, if you saw me with a little gold bag, a kind of all-colored bag, I gave cards to some of our highway shepherd workers who help us all the time. And somewhere it got gone. It's like a gold-colored bag, and it was just flat, didn't have it opened up. I had a few cards in there, recognized J.C., and J.C. and Peggy and them. And Becky have been from the very get-go. And Regina, they've all been with us, Bobby and Lee, from the first time we ever started many years ago. But I had one in there, another card in there, but it got gone somewhere between when we were through decorating yesterday or doing the bags and back home. It very likely got lost at our house, but I can't find it, and it has a gift card in there or has a little card in there. So if you remember seeing that little bag I was toting around with, if you've seen it, or you know, if somebody might have picked it up or whatever, we thought it was trash, I sure would like to find that and get it to the person that I want to get it to. This coming Wednesday night, we'll have our service at 7 o'clock. We're not going to try to do a morning service, and we had kind of announced that we would start back the first Wednesday in the new year. But this coming Wednesday night, we'll have our regular worship time, Bible time, at 7, and then we'll have just our very brief business meeting to adopt our budget for the coming year. And as far as I know, that's the only item on the agenda. Our nominating committee, we have quite a few vacancies to fill, and all of that will work out. But we changed our calendar year from January to January now instead of October to October, so we wanted to try to get the budget on this coming Wednesday night. We want you to be aware of that. And then on the first Sunday, next Sunday, will be the first of 2023. And I don't usually announce what I'm going to preach on, but what I'm thinking the Lord's got on my heart is first things first to start the new year. And then on Sunday night, next Sunday night, we will read the book of Revelation. And I've really wrestled over that for the last few weeks. I don't want it to get to be a tradition or a ritual. I want it to be real. But His Word is quick and powerful and sharp in a two-edged sword. So we're still planning on reading the first Sunday of the new year, the whole book of Revelation. And if you've been here for that before, God blesses it to our heart. Blessed is he that readeth, and he that heareth the prophets of this book. And then the second Sunday of January, the Hollis family will be with us in the morning service. They'll sing and I'll preach. And then that Sunday evening, I want us to have a good time of fellowship in the fellowship hall. And I've been threatening to do this, and now we're going to do it. So on the second Sunday night in January, we're going to have a hymn singing in the fellowship hall and a chili cook-off. Now, Tim, he's a real cooker. He talks about his chili, and others talk about the chili. So we're going to bring chili that night. And for some of you who like salads and need salads, you bring some salads. Amen. But we're going to meet in the fellowship hall. And what we're going to do, we're going to have just a good fellowship meal together. We'll start early at 5 o'clock, Brother Brad. And I know you're eager to get the choir going again, but we thought we'd try to do this a little early because of what we want to do. We'll have a good fellowship meal together. And then we're going to just have a hymn sing. We've done this. We've missed our our fifth Sunday night singing because of COVID, first one thing and another. But I wanted to do something like this, and Eric and them have been doing it up at Brother Zane Fisher's church for about 3 years now, and it always is a great time. So when we get through eating, Eric's going to have his keyboard and everything set back there, and you just call out a hymn, and we'll sing those hymns. They'll sing a few specials along. All of it together, we'll be here about an hour and a half. So you look forward to that on the second Sunday night, and we'll have a great time together. All right, you have your Bibles open. We're going to be through here in just at 7 o'clock, I believe, and we'll get you out of here. But not 7 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock. That'd give me an hour and 15 minutes. But I want to share this with you tonight. Romans chapter 8, isn't it an unusual Christmas text? Let me read it. Let me read it first, and then I'll tell you why the Lord laid this on my heart. Romans chapter number 8, and look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to help me. Our Father, we have so enjoyed being with your people during this month. Our Father, we thank you. In spite of sicknesses and surgeries and all that's gone on, God, you've been good to us and you've blessed us. And our Father, we understand that we live in a world that our Father is under the curse because of sin. And yet we've been redeemed. We are not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And God, in this world, according to Job and according to your word, we will have tribulation. But God, none of that will move us. We know that you love us and you care for us. And we may experience persecution. We may experience sickness or distress or peril. Lord, we may go through all of those things while we're here, but nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord, I'm so thankful at this time of the year to remember that He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, He shall also freely by Him give us all things. And Father, I'm thankful that the greatest gift that this world has ever known, and we who have trusted Him in particular, is the great gift, the unspeakable gift of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You said in the book of Isaiah that we read just a few days ago that unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. Lord, thank you for the great gift of your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and giving your life a ransom. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit of God, for dealing with our heart, convicting us of sin, righteous judgment, and drawing us by your power to the Savior and giving us, our Father, repentance and faith that we might be saved. God, I thank you for this good number here. Lord, how we still are rejoicing in the faithfulness of your people. And Lord, just the overwhelming expression of their desire to be a blessing. God, I know that, Lord, people were helped and blessed on yesterday. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to Sue Ellen a while ago, first time she and Chris have been out, it's always a little new experience when you first start going out on the highway, walking up to strangers and try to give them a goodie bag. And she said some of them were a little bit leery. And then she went on to say, but the truckers accepted them gladly. Most of them were just tickled to death to get them. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's the way it is with the gospel. There's so many people that don't want to hear it. They reject it and don't want to even hear it. But there are some who will receive it. Our intent and our purpose is to get a blessing to the truckers. But now, of course, it's expanded to the travelers. And most of the time when I talk about the ministry, I say we have a ministry to truckers and travelers, anybody on the interstate. And God's blessed us to do that. But it's a free gift. Man, people got up, came out here three different times this year and worked on the bags and 12 degrees on Saturday morning and no heat and no lights and no breakfast. And yet they came and so many and did all of that thing. And they got everything ready. And all people had to do was to take it in their hand and they'd get those homemade goodies and those nabs and whatever else, the good fruit that Bobby and Lee and John and Peggy Langdon purchased for us. And they could have good fruit, could have those homemade goodies and prepackaged goodies. And all they had to do was just take it because it was freely offered and people went to all that effort to get it to them. And thank God they did. But, you know, I preached a few weeks ago on the three questions asked about a baby. They wanted to know, was it a boy or girl? How big was the baby? And then what was the name of the baby? But there's another question that just about is always asked around Christmas time over and over again. And that is this question, what did you get for Christmas? What did you get for Christmas? So in the last couple of days, I've been thinking about that. And strangely, wonderfully, the Lord Jesus Christ led me to this passage of Scripture in the book of Romans. What did you get for Christmas? Let me read it to you once again and get it kind of fixed in your mind here in this passage of Scripture. He talks about what the Lord has done for us. But look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What did you get at Christmas? I'll tell you. What did I get when Christ came? And the theme of the song that Amanda sang and Brother Danny and even Kay, all of them had that overriding theme that Jesus Christ came, but he's coming again. And what did we get when we got Christmas? What did we get when Christ came? Christmas is when Christ clothed himself in human flesh and came into this world. And what did we get? He said in this passage of Scripture, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? What did we get? We got everything. When I was a boy growing up, you'd say, what do you want? I want a set of Hopalong Cassidy guns. I'd like to get a Daisy air rifle. I'd like to get this. That was the boys primarily. I'd like to get that. And then maybe you'd name one or two or three things. Now they got a laundry list of things they want, but one or two little things they get. But most time we say this, and a whole lot of surprises, amen? And sometimes the surprises are better than what you ask for. And listen, since I've been saved, I got what I asked for, but I've got so much more. I've got a whole lot of surprises. I mean, I've been blessed. Thank God for his unspeakable gift, but forget not all of his benefits, the Bible said. What did I get? Number one, I got a plan that's perfect. I mean, I became part of a plan of God that's perfect. Notice what he said in the beginning of this statement, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I thank God with salvation and with the Lord Jesus Christ coming in and him being born into my heart and me being born again by the grace of God, I became part of a plan that's perfect according to his purpose. And listen to this. This is not just true of some people, it's true of every person who knows Christ, and that all things will work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Every person that's ever gotten saved, everything that's happened in their life, God turns it out for good. Now, you can't beat a plan like that. And you say, well, Brother Billy, I know, you know, people have kind of done this and that and the other, and I've done the same thing. But you know, I thought about it like this. How could I describe it? Well, I don't ride roller coasters. I just don't. Anything that hurts me ain't fun. I don't understand it, but it hurts me when that thing's clicking up like this. Click, 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 click. I done tied up 9 knots. And I'm listening. I've climbed up pine trees and jumped out. I swung on ropes and grapevines all of my life. But there's just something about that and getting there. Well, I don't have any control over it. And when that thing falls, it just hurts my stomach and scares me to death. And I just don't like it. So I just soon not do that. But I've seen people get on there. And when they get on there, we saw a site one time. I can't remember. Regina would remember where we were at. But there was a group there, and there were special needs children. And I stood there and watched people get on that thing, and they came up with all these children that had special needs. Some of them were Downs and other things. And they marched them right on there and strapped them right. They had not one clue what's fixing to happen to them. And I thought to myself, that is cruel and unusual punishment. But they buckled them down and they took off. And I'm telling you, I watched them. You could just see when they were going around, some of them, the eyes are that big and they were waving their hands. Some of them were laughing. Some of them had their eyes closed. And they reacted all, man, they were all over the inside of that car, but they were tied down. They couldn't go anywhere. But you know, when it was all over, they came right back to where they started at. And sometimes when people get saved by the grace of God, they react differently in the ride. Sometimes they're fearful, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're walling this away and they're going that away. But truth of the matter is, they're in something that's going to take them safely back to where they're supposed to be. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you're part of His plan, and you may just wobble around in that plan a little bit, but when it's all said and done, He's not going to lose one of His children, not one of them, and they'll all appear before Him. And the truth of the matter is, the book of Revelation, they'll be robed in garments of white and without spot or wrinkle. Why? Because they became part of a perfect plan. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, and He has a plan for our life, and it's going to work together for good. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't always look good. Sometimes it's tough. And John the Baptist is a good example of that. Brother Barry was talking about John the Baptist and his miraculous birth and all those things. And the whole time he was doing that, I was remembering how John died. You remember how he died? Jesus said there's never been one born among women greater than John the Baptist. And yet in God's divine plan and providence, He had a way for him to go to heaven that was just unreal. I'm not going into all that. You know about that plan. I don't understand that, but God does have a plan for every one of us. We went and saw the movie the other day. You may not go to movies, but we do sometime. And we went to see the movie, I Heard the Bells. It's about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And the song that's sung about I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, and in the verse of that song, it says something about there is no God or something. And he was in despair. It tells the story of his life and great tragedy that happened. But he wrote that song in the latter years of his life after a heart-rending experience and so many difficulties. And God gave him that song. And that song, I've heard it now probably, and I didn't realize he even wrote the song, but I've heard it over and over again through this time. God gave him that song and all of that thing. But God had a plan. God wanted to get that song out. And God had a way to do it. Fanny Crosby wrote over 6,000 songs, and yet she was blind. And she was not blind when she was born. There was an accident by a nurse put something in her eyes to clear eyes or something, and she caused her to be blind the rest of her life. And she wrote so many wonderful songs. She wrote that song, Visions of Rapture Now Burst on My Sight. And she was blind, but she was looking far down the road than what most people do. And that some people said to her one time, said, Fanny Crosby said, don't you wish you could see? She said, not really. She said, because you see, the first face I ever see will be the face of Jesus. Boy, that's pretty good, isn't it? God's good to us. I'm glad that when I got saved, what did I get for Christmas? I got to be part of a perfect plan. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And I don't understand it, and I don't like a part of my ride, I'll be honest with you. I go through time, you go through times of suffering and sorrow and heartache, But God's emboldened us and making us what we ought to be, and He's got a purpose and a plan in every bit of that. But I'm going to tell you, notice what He says. And He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, become conformed to the image of His dear Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Justified means, simple theological term, just as if I've never sinned. And I not only got to be part of a perfect plan, but I got to experience a pardon that is unchallenged. I have been forgiven. Why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? See, we sinned against Him. He's the final judge. And because He gave His Son and gave us everlasting life, He don't hold anything to our account. His Son's unpaid for all of our sin with His own blood. He accepted that as the ransom for our soul. When He accepted Jesus, our pardon, we are justified just as if we've never sinned. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. I'm thankful that His blood has bought us and paid for us, and He washes away all of our sin. Our good friend who's in heaven now, Brother Don Harrell, used to say over and over again, and when he'd preach, and all, and he said in Greek, that word means all. He said in redneck, that word means all. And it don't make any difference. It means every one of our sins. I'm glad that I received a perfect pardon for Christmas. God forgave all of my sin, past, present, and future. Boy, that's a good Christmas gift, isn't it? That He forgave all of our sin. But then notice something else. He says in this, He that spared not His own Son, read it again, verse 32, but delivered us up, Him up for us all, how shall not also freely give us all things? What an inclusive word. All that I need emotionally, all that I need spiritually, all that I need physically, all that I need financially, all of my needs. I'm glad that I received a provision that is inexhaustible. Oh, listen, He said, my God shall meet all your needs according to His glory by Christ Jesus. When I got saved, what did I get for Christmas? I got provision that is inexhaustible. You can't run it out. He's got it. Whatever I need, He's got it. Whatever I need in strength or wisdom or guidance or peace, He's got it. Whatever I need financially, He's got it. Whatever I need in healing, He's got it. He's got it all. That's what I got for Christmas. That's a pretty good Christmas gift, isn't it? I thank God for what I got, what my children, grandchildren. Most of all, I'm so thankful. I was thinking about it during the day. I remember my brother-in-law, Joe. I think Joe got saved in the latter years of his life. He's kind of remind me of John Wayne, you know, in his younger life. He just kind of like that, kind of man's man, you know what I'm talking about? He didn't show much emotion. But we'd go to my sister's at Christmas when I was a young boy, and I'd watch him. He just sat there, and they were young as they had. She had six children, I think it was, and then they got grand young as they populated half that county up there. Now there's a cow pen full of them, kind of like me and Tim, me and Regina and Tim and Ann. We think we run a race, and Barry and them and Dolores and all of them, they were way ahead of all of us, I think. But anyhow, we had 22 or 3, I think Regina said. And then Tim and them, they have a crowd. And Alan and Pamela, I think they had 27, 28 at their house family. But you think about, I watched him, and he'd sat there, and you'd ask him what he got for Christmas. I never did know what he got for Christmas. But he just sat there and watched them young'uns and the grand young'uns. And you could tell he was as happy as he could be. And I know now what he's talking, I know now what he meant. I know what he felt. He was just tickled to death that his family was all there. And I'm thankful for that. Can I tell you, there's nothing pleases the father or grandfather more than having all of his children in his house. And I'm going to tell you, God's provision to us is inexhaustible because He loved us. He gave His Son for us, and that's what I got for Christmas. Man, I got everything I've ever needed, plus He's given it to me. But notice something else. And this may be one, probably the greatest of all. Notice what it said in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I've already said that. I have a redemption or pardon that's unquestioned or unchallenged. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's he, the right hand of the Father, that maketh intercession for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What did I get for Christmas? I got a love that is unextinguishable. You can't extinguish. You can't put out his love. You can't make it stop. You can't make him stop loving you. He said he loved us. He loved us even all through all of that. That love will never be separated from us. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. He loved us like that, regardless of what we've done, our failures, whatever. He loved us. I am sure glad that we've got somebody to love us. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father through him loved us. And that love is unquenchable. You can't put it out. You can't quench it. He loves us with an everlasting love. It's an unchanging love. It is an eternal love. Lastly tonight, you know what I got? I got not only that pardon, not only that peace, not only that provision, and not only that love that he showed to me, but I got a place to live for all eternity. I was talking to Denise, and Sherry had told me about him, a young man that lives not far from here, and he works at Bojangles. They've seen him walking. They've seen him ride a bicycle, and Don has picked him up, helped him out, and taken him to work. And sometime when it's bad weather, he's called Don, go pick him home. And they got to talking about where he lived, and come to find out he lives in his car. But he's working. I mean, he'll work. And I'm just guesstimate the miles to be somewhere 7 to 8 miles from Bojangles, where he lives at. Maybe a little further than that. But he walks to Bojangles, and he evidently stays near a friend's house or something in the car, and they'll let him go in and take a bath every now and then. And I'm thankful that he's got somewhere, but God's been so good to me, been so good to you. And we can say what we want to about how people are homeless and why they're homeless, and I have my opinion about some of that myself, and I have to ask God to help me. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The day I got saved, I got a place to live for all eternity. He's given me wonderful places to live here on this earth, but nothing like where we're going. He's given us an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. What did you get for Christmas? When they make the list out at home, one year I made a list out. They kept on wanting me to make a list. And I put two or three things, and I put down the duct tape, Bojangles cards, and WD-40. I needed some new the can of WD-40, and then I put down a log cabin by a stream up in a mountain somewhere. You know, I just kind of give a little big gift at the end. But you know what? I didn't even ask for that. I just asked him to forgive me of my sin. I just asked him not to let me go to hell. And he said, all right, I forgive you of all your sin, and I'll give you a peace of God that passes all understanding, and I'll give you everything you ever need in this world. But when you leave this world, you go into an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You'll live there for all eternity. There'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. I got a whole lot for Christmas. I got a lot to be thankful for. And I don't serve Him to get it. I've already got it. But I sure want to serve Him more faithfully when I'm reminded of what I did get for Christmas. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Let's stand together. On this last day of a worship service in this year, other than Wednesday night, don't you want to thank Him for what you got for Christmas? I try to make sure I thank everybody. I used to try to write a handwritten note to everybody. Now I can text. Somehow or another, I don't feel right about doing that. It seems so impersonal, but everybody does it. But I sure like to be able to tell people face to face, if I can, or person to person, at least write them a note and tell them I really appreciate it. And I do thank you so much for everything, all your cards and gifts, your prayers, expressions of love to us. And I certainly want to tell him, thank you for Christmas. I wrote a little check out when I left home a while ago. And I've done my tithing all month long, and I've put in the missions, and I've given special offerings to different things, and the shipping the boxes and to some of our missionary friends. And then me and Regina have sent money to other individuals and missions around too. But I just sat down before I left home a while ago and wrote a check, put it in. And I started to write Happy Birthday Jesus on it. But the truth be known, He's from same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't have a beginning. There was a time we celebrate called His birth, but when He came in the flesh. I just wrote Merry Christmas on it. That's not a very good expression of love to Him. But I think He kind of knew what I meant. Maybe you want to just tell Him tonight, thank you for the greatest Christmas gift. All that He gave you, what you got when He came into your life. Not deserved any of it. If I'd have been Him, I'd have zapped me two or three times. But He was always gracious. Not that He didn't chase me, not that He didn't discipline me. And I'm thankful for that. But He's been so good to me. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the gift of Your dear Son. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us and clothing Yourself in human flesh to suffer and bleed and die that we might have everlasting life. All the cruelties of the cross, the separation from the Father, descending to the lower part of the earth, Your resurrection and Your life. Thank You for hearing and saving. Thank You that You ever lived to make intercession for us, that freely by You we receive all things. Thank You, dear Holy Spirit of God, for making those truths real to us. And Lord, thank You for this church. Thank You for my family. God, I couldn't ask for anything better than what You've given to me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and my wife and my family and this church. God, I am so thankful. And as we come down to the end of this year, Lord, please help me to be faithful to You in the coming year. Help me to be a good pastor. Help me to be a good daddy and a good granddad and a good husband. Help me to be a good friend. And God, I pray that I'd honor Christ in all that I do and say. And I pray, God, the same thing for all of our friends here, and I know that's their prayer as well. But God, tonight we have worshiped You in the singing. Thank You for Brother Brad and Ms. April being here tonight. God, for touching them. I know, God, their physical body's got a ways to go to be well. God, please help him. And God, give them strength. And I pray, God, that they'll wait on You, be patient, let You get their bodies good and healed in Your time. And You've got a reason for all of this. And God, I pray for our other friends who are going through things that's been long term. And our Father, we do ask Your blessing again, Lord, on all of them that are sick and have special needs tonight. God, we'll thank You and praise You and give You glory for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.